All right, let's get going in a couple of seconds. I'll give folks a little bit of time to just get settled after that last session. And thank you again, Patrick, for doing that overview. Man, it's bright up here, but you know, I think we'll be okay. The spotlight. Okay, so the title of this session is Developing with Power BI. You know, the next hour, what I really plan on doing is going deep into how you can extend and build on top of Power BI. By way of introduction, my name's Faisal Mahmood, and I'm essentially a product manager on the Power BI team. I look after the developer experiences and the platform on top of Power BI that developers use to build solutions and experiences over, so that you know your applications might interact with Power BI. So just a quick little teaser. Stay till the end if you want to learn how you can have your chance to win $5,000. There's a cool little thing that we're doing over the next few weeks that I want to educate you on. So, you know, you've probably heard this over and over and over, right? Which is, you know, the world of data is just changing. It's, you know, in interesting ways. There's all sorts of data that you have to be able to deal with. And, you know, and in this case, what I'm really talking about is the data that your applications need to consume. How many of you have an application that consumes data, right? Of course. Kind of a rhetorical question. You know, it's you know, all applications have data, and increasingly, all applications also have some kind of an analytics experience, right? And so, you know, the need to surface experiences through your app is, you know, is something that you know comes up all the time. When we think about Power BI, the value proposition for Power BI really is, no data source is off limits, right? Power BI is the ultimate aggregator. We think of Power BI as, you know, the single pane of glass through which business users can see their entire world, right? It's not limited to a single app. You can have data coming in from multiple applications. And I can see, you know, in the moment, information about the thing that I care about. And so, you know, that's interesting, right? Because, well, you have all this great capability in Power BI, including visualizations, and you know, you have your application. And what does that mean? You know, are these really two separate islands? You know, there's the scenario of, well, there could be data coming out of your app that needs to get surfaced out to a Power BI user, right? And that's interesting. And also, you might actually say, well, Power BI is a destination, but is, you know, when I'm delivering an application experience to my end user, I want them to be in my app, right? And I want them to experience the data through my app. And both of those scenarios are valid. And that's what this session is all about, right? Is really talking about the various possibilities. So we think about a couple of different aspects. There's actually three of these. I'm only going to talk about two of them. I bet the third one will sort of come up, but you know, and we'll talk to that. But what I'm covering today is really an integration scenario and an extend scenario. When we talk about integration, what we're really covering is the need for your app to talk to Power BI, right? And we allow that through a set of APIs. Power BI is an experience first and foremost, but it's, as I said, also a platform. So we have REST-enabled the entire platform, so you can talk to us, right? You can invoke APIs that do various things, and you'll see a bunch of demos. You can push data into Power BI. That enables some exciting real-time possibilities. And then you'll also see some commercial applications that are already integrating with Power BI. So Azure Stream Analytics provides a turnkey experience over Power BI that makes it really easy to get data from Stream Analytics into Power BI, and that's an example of an integration that's built on top of our standard integration APIs. Then we talk about extensibility and the notion of extending Power BI with experiences that might be unique to your needs, right? And in those cases, we have content packs, which is a form of extensions, right? And you know, and we've covered that. I'll talk about how you might go about building them. But then custom visuals, right? This notion of being able to bring your own unique visualization so that you can extend and go beyond what the box, what's available in box, right? What's available in Power BI. So both of these are scenarios. So just covering the primitives a little bit, just because we have to get, it's important to get our terminology right. You know, there's the notion of, first and foremost, there's the notion of a data set in Power BI. When Patrick showed Power BI, you know, on the left side, you've seen three important concepts show up. There's data sets, there's reports, and there's dashboards, right? A data set really is just a collection of objects that have data, right? Think of them as tables. But they can be any data, but, you know, think of them as tables with relationships. Reports allow you to visualize that data, so reports have visuals in them, and they allow you to visualize that data. And then a dashboard is really an aggregator of visuals coming from multiple places. They don't have to be restricted to visuals coming from reports, conceptually speaking, but the dashboard is the surface you see with tiles. We have the notion of content packs, which we already talked about. Certain capabilities like natural language query that allow you to interact with the data set, right? This is what allows Power BI to go above and beyond pre-canned dashboards and reports, right? Because you can actually interact with the underlying data. Whether that data is cached or whether that data is coming from a connected source, you can interact and visualize that data through, you know, through the visualization experiences. And then, you know, data can be kept up to date, right? We have the notion of refresh. And in terms of data sources, I won't go into a ton of depth, but we covered the spectrum, right? Cloud-based SaaS solutions, on-premises, non-Microsoft cloud and Microsoft cloud, and files, right? Power BI desktop files, Excel files, things that have these notion of data sets and reports in them, you can immediately bring them into Power BI. So the desktop, as Patrick showed you, is one way to create data. There was a question in the earlier session about, can you do these things programmatically, right? Can I create data, bring data into Power BI programmatically? And that's what that second piece is, right, is the REST APIs, which will allow you to interact with Power BI through your app or through a device and bring data in. So let's cover the REST APIs. So again, just a visual cue, that's what I mean by a dashboard, right? A set of tiles. So on the left, you can see dashboards, reports, and data sets. And we'll work with these over the next many minutes as I go into a demo. How many of you have used the API, by the way, the Power BI API? Oh, this is going to be good. There's only a few of you that's used it. This will be very informative. So when you think about our APIs today, we have two tracks. We have a beta track, which is where you have the bleeding edge stuff, right? This is where you can try all the new improvements we're making. They're early, right? But they're, you know, near production ready, but they're, you know, preview, right? Just use them to get a feel for what's coming, to prototype and build on the latest. As our APIs mature, what we do is we bring them into our production V1 train. So we have those two trains. And the API is really, you know, just addressable at api.powerbi.com. And then you can see /V1.0 or /beta, and then /myorg, right? And myorg really means it takes you to your tenant. So then we have the notion of workspaces, and it's important to understand what workspaces are. When I log into Power BI, I'm looking at my workspace, right? And so getting to your workspace is really when you go to your org, you're looking at your workspace. But if you're using groups, a feature that Patrick mentioned, then you can also address the group and create and interact with objects in the group by using the group ID, right? And so that's possible. So then let's look at a couple of APIs. So I think the most important one that we have available right now is the dataset API. And the dataset API really lets you interact with datasets. So we have this notion of a datasets collection, and you can do a get on datasets, and you'll be able to see all the datasets that exist in the workspace. You'll be able to create datasets, and you'll be able to add rows to a table, delete a table and such, right? So we have this notion of being able to interact with data sets that are in a specific workspace. We have the notion of imports. And this one is clearly marked as beta, right? Because this one isn't in V1 APIs yet. But the imports API allow you to take an artifact or a set of artifacts that have been authored using Excel or the Power BI desktop, right? So you may come to me and say, hey, these fine-grained APIs are nice, but I've already created a data model, a template, and a set of reports through the desktop. And can I bring that into Power BI programmatically? The imports API will allow you to do that, right? And so you can just basically take a PBIX file authored using the desktop and post that using this API. Finally, we have a set of APIs that are coming soon, which is really about interacting with artifacts on the dashboard, mainly tiles, right? And so these become a way for you to integrate tiles into your own experience, and this is something we'll be making noise about in the near future. Not actually very, very soon, in fact. So that's a quick run through of what the surface looks like. So let's actually do a demo. All right, so what I have here is an empty dashboard. Not very interesting at the moment, right? Let's see what we can do if I want to play with my APIs, right? So we can go to dev.powerbi.com. This is the website where you go if you want to get all sorts of developer information. And we show you how to register your client application for talking to Power BI, right? There's OAuth involved. There's an app registration involved. And, you know, and we make this process easy to understand. So if you're building a client app or a web app, you can go through this process. And then we have this feature here that lets you try the API. And what it allows you to do is it gives you complete set of documentation around the API itself. So what can I do with the API and, you know, data sets, the data types, you know, that are involved and such. And then you get to the data sets API itself. And so you can do things like, well, let me look at the list all data sets functionality. So here you can see this is a get. You know, it's just basically doing a /myorg/datasets. And we can try it right here. So I'm going to try it right here. And let's simply call this resource, right? So now I'm actually getting a 200 OK response. So this is allowing me to play with the API interactively. I get a 200 OK. And it's coming back with a JSON that says, I've got a couple of data sets in here, just two, one called Adobe Analytics, one called Twilio. So looking at here, you can see there's one called Adobe Analytics, one called Twilio, and a third one, right? And that's interesting because the one in the middle isn't mine. It's been shared with me. So it's not something that I have in my workspace, right? If this had been a group where multiple folks are collaborating, then it would show up, right? But the two that I have are the first one and the last one. So let's go ahead and create one, right? So creating a data set, what does that look like? So it's a post to, you know, this URL here. And there's, you know, a little bit more involved, right? Because I have to define the shape of what I'm creating. So here it's a single table in this data set called sales marketing. And the table is called product. And I have a bunch of columns in there. And so let's go ahead and call that. So again, we get a response back, 200 OK, and it comes back with an ID for the data set. I will need this, so I'm going to copy this and, you know, hang on to it. But let's go back, right? There's my new data set. Just showed up, right? And I can go into it, and I can see that there's one table and really not a whole lot going on in there, right? So fine, let's jump out of it. And let's go back to our APIs here. So let's push some rows in, right? So we've got list all tables, update existing tables, and then I can add rows. So we're going to go into add rows. And here again, I've got a body that I want to post, right? You get set up when you go to the API console with, you know, with a default. Here I want to actually go and specify some parameters, because if you look at the URL, you can see there's a GUID and there's a friendly table name that I need. So I know the GUID of the data set, right? I just created it. And in the friendly table name, we're just going to say the table is product, right? And let's call that, calling resource, and we get back a 200 OK. So let's go back in and look at that data set. So this time, we're going to go back in, and let's try and visualize it. So you can see some data here. Just one value, boring old pie chart, not very interesting, right? But let's hang on to this, because this is exciting a little bit. we're getting some data in, right? And I didn't use Power BI. I did not use the Power BI experience to get this data into Power BI. That's the exciting part about it. So I can name this report. I can pin this report to my dashboard, and let's go back to our dashboard, right? There it is. So now, to make things a little bit more fun, let's bring this to the side here, and let's do a little bit of a little bit more. So let's post something else to it, right? So let's say we have bikes, and I'm going to call it again, right? And so this is taking a little bit, but you can see what's happening. I'm pushing data in, and the dashboard is updating in real time, right? That's, effectively, what you've done is created a near real-time dashboard. You know, not a whole lot of coding here yet, right? And, you know, it's that simple, right? Do you guys like that? Yeah? Anyone going to be able to use it? Yeah, good. So, that's fun. You know, I'm not going to stick around all day and use the API console, right? That's, got better things to do than that. So how about actually getting some code for this, right? So what you'll be able to do is, from the API console itself, you can get some examples, you know, whether it's JavaScript or Node or Python. You'll be able to just generate some code, and you can start using that, right? So that's a quick little tour of the APIs. We only have a small surface of APIs right now, but a whole lot more coming, right? Think about the ability to create reports and the ability to even start bringing some of those reports into some other experiences of your own, right? And so this is going to get very sophisticated very quickly, and we've only scratched the surface. All right, so back to my slides. You saw that when we created the data set, there was a thing called the retention policy on it. And it's important to keep that in mind. There's a default, which is none. It's important to think about this because you want to think about how you're using these data sets and what it really means in the context of your application, right? So if you have scenarios where a lot of data is coming in via this push API, then you want to think about what your retention policy is going to be. There are cases where you just want to hang on to a window, right? And the first one really is about saying store up to 200,000 rows, hang on to that amount of data, and remove old data as new data flows in. And that's perfectly appropriate for some scenarios. The other retention policy, the default, really says, don't delete anything. Hang on to up to, 5 million rows per table. And, when the limit is reached, I will deal with it, right? Me as a developer will deal with it. Both are available, and it's up to you to choose what you want to do here. So that's all well and good. We just looked at a simple example where I have one machine. I'm, pushing a button to generate data. What happens in a real system, right? And what does it mean to bring this experience to a thing that, is cloud scale? How many of you have used this website, howold.net? Yeah. Have you seen it at this event yet? Yeah. Has anyone talked about it? Everyone, right? I won't show you that one. I'll show you something else. But, but I think the story here is interesting, right, which is it was built as an audience engagement tool for a conference. And it was built using, effectively a standardized architecture that I think we will, we are, in effect, implicitly, I think, recommending for building this sort of thing, right, where you have lots of events coming in, and you want to get that visualized onto a dashboard, and how do you go about doing that? And how do you go about plugging other services like machine learning and, you know, and such as part of that pipeline as well, right? So this was built as an audience engagement mechanism. And, you know, in so you can see that during the event, there was a spike, right, expected. Thousands of folks trying it out, not very exciting. But then something crazy happened, right? It went down, spiked back up again, right? The word got out on Twitter, and folks started using it, went back up to 1,000 per, you know, I believe these are per per second or probably even per minute, right? There was a lot coming in. And things just kept going, right? And, you know, the real-time dashboards just started going crazy. You know, everything was great. You know, the numbers were just somewhat unbelievable because we were seeing, hundreds of images coming in per second, and it's kind of been, you know, been there ever since, right? And it's interesting to think about, well, how do you set yourselves up for something like that, right, with Power BI? You know, this is an example of a dashboard that that I think you've seen, and you know we've beaten this one to death. So let's try another demo. Anyone seen this device at this event? Yes, at this event? No. Okay. All right, I'm safe. I think. If I can get this to work. So this is a TI, Texas Instruments sensor tag, right? It's a nifty little device because it has, you know, it's got a couple of sensors on it. I think the new one has a lot more, but it's got a temperature sensor and a humidity sensor. Connects to my machine using Bluetooth low energy, so it can run for a long time. And, you know, when I fire it up, it starts sending data to my machine. What I'm doing here is I'm actually going to connect up to this thing here, and it's trying to read sensor data. And you can see it's getting data now, right? It's getting data now. And what's happening is this app, you could technically send data straight from this thing. Well, not this one, because it doesn't, you know, it's not very programmable. But, you know, a Raspberry Pi or a Photon or one of those devices could, you know, easily talk over the internet. This one's going through my machine as a proxy, which is then sending data into Azure Event Hub, right? And Azure Event Hub in this case is important because that's the source that can ingest millions of events per second, right? And so you can have tens of thousands of these sending data to that thing, and it'll be okay, right? And what's happening is this data is coming into my dashboard. So as soon as I enabled it, I'm able to see real-time data coming from the sensor, right? So we could give it a little bit of a temperature spike. And I should, you know, see, I'm holding it, but I don't know if I'm nervous or not, but, you know, but that, a heart rate sensor might be more appropriate for this one. But you can see that, right? It's showing me things as it's happening. And it's kind of cool because the promise is you can have a lot of these. Processing data through the system, and we'll be able to visualize it just fine. Why? Because what we're doing is we have Azure Stream Analytics as an integration that I mentioned, as the thing that's doing all the heavy lifting. So Event Hubs for large-scale data ingest, Azure Stream Analytics for being able to make sense of all of that data, right? And if I go into Stream Analytics, I can look at my job, and, you know, the input is the data stream, Event Hub. The query, Stream Analytics makes this really simple, right? A SQL-like query over that data to pick, you know, humidity and temperature and do a tumbling window over it. So I'm just, you know, aggregating events, you know, one second at a time. And then it's being effectively, if you look at the outputs, we have a Power BI output. So you can just say, send this data to Power BI. And now what's coming in is a manageable chunk of data that's been aggregated and can be visualized and can be reasoned about, all, you know, to just ultimately result in that, right? So we think, you know, combining these technologies and, you know, and sort of linking them up and the APIs that we have and the programmability we have in Power BI ultimately enables for these kinds of things, right? Anyone, you know, have a practical use for this type of a scenario, you think? IoT, yeah, good. Right, so the components of this solution, just to sort of drive it home, really, right? Input, Azure Event Hubs or Azure Blob Storage, right? And Stream Analytics is, you know, is doing the heavy lifting over that stream of data coming in. You saw the query that that ultimately processes all of that information, and then output can be SQL database, Blob Storage, Event Hubs, and of course Power BI, right? So if you're thinking about a streaming solution, Stream Analytics, turnkey with Power BI, you could use something like Storm 2, right, if that's the thing you use. There are bolts out there that folks have written that'll make a similar thing possible with Storm, right? So again, because the APIs are available, you can integrate your streaming solution into Power BI. Now, the other thing about that How Old dashboard, which is interesting and worth mentioning, is it was actually showing more than just real-time data. It was also showing historical data, right? And so, you know, what we had going behind the scenes was also a process, you know, effectively an ETL process for, you know, for standing up historical data in a data mart, data warehouse, that can also be used to surface up, you know, trends and such over time. And so that's, you know, that made it really easy for me to look at multiple aspects of the data, historical, real-time, what's happening in the moment. And so that, you know, gave us good flexibility in what that dashboard allowed us to do. At this point, I'll pause, take a few questions, and then we'll jump into the next segment. Yes. Yeah, no, great question. I think the question was really about alerting. Can I, you know, detect something that, you know, that happened, and can I generate a particular email or such? And I think the answer is absolutely yes. You're probably going to have more than one way of doing it, depending on who you are. You know, we think that if you're an advanced persona, you're doing something like machine learning, and you're you know, doing something like anomaly detection, for example. There's places in the pipeline where you can plug in that kind of capability, right? You know, if you're a Power BI user and you're just, you know, a business user, non-technical, you just, you know, want to know if a certain thing changes, we will also have experiences in Power BI, we think, over time that will allow you to, you know, have email notification, hey, something changed, right? And it's a key aspect of how we think about, you know, think about the problem. It's a general problem that's important, and how we cater to the different personas that will need different levels of flexibility on that aspect.
So is it available today?
In Power BI, nothing is, I don't believe anything's available around that out of the box yet. Yeah. Yep.
So obviously, if you're invoking APIs, that's a code asset. And I didn't get to ask Patrick this question, but what about for assets that you create perhaps in the desktop? Is there any kind of source control integration?
Yeah, good question. So I think the question was really around application lifecycle management or source code control and such around things you do in the desktop. As we start thinking about, you know, the answer is, as we start thinking about what the desktop really means when it comes to really full-featured development, and, you know, we're thinking about that. And maybe even not full-featured development, but, you know, a way of thinking about your models and versioning them and such. It's you know, it's a fair and reasonable ask, and I think we will start to move in that direction. Certainly for the source code control problem, we've heard that request a number of times, and it's something we're looking at. Yep.
Design really to
Yeah, that's a good question. I think you actually threw another topic in there in the last few words that you mentioned, right? You used the five-letter word, embed. And that's the piece that I had almost assured you that would come up. You know, we talked about integrate, we talked about extend. There's a third pillar, embed. We're not really covering a ton of embed here. I did briefly mention that we have some APIs around tiles that you can, you know, call in and start to think about consuming. And that API is will allow you to, you know, start doing those kinds of things. Embedding as a, you know, as a feature is something that is a massive capability that that we're working on and will come. And when it comes, it will support, you know, everything from, you know, looking at it on your browser to looking at it, you know, on your phone and being able to program against it. And so, yeah, absolutely. Mobile is, you know, a first-class citizen in our experience. So we expect that to work. But to be clear, embedding is not something that's, you know, in a general sense available today through our APIs. Yep.
As you said, that for the team foundation server, if I deploy to the, I mean, as a, is it possible to get the data from the team foundation?
Yeah, the question is it possible to get data from TFS into Power BI for visualization? Yeah, I believe so. I think, you know, a couple of options there. We already have a Visual Studio Online content pack if you're using Visual Studio Online. And I believe TFS, you know, it's possible to get to TFS. We do this all the time through, you know, get to the TFS database and, you know, and build dashboards that you can operationalize via Power BI. I'll take one more and then we'll jump into the next part. Oh, I think, so everything we're talking here, the question is, you know, if I have data that is coming from SQL Server, do I have to use the APIs to get that data into Power BI, or, you know, what else are the options?
Right, this would be data that's on-prem.
Sure. Yeah, and this is, you know, it's a core part of Power BI is our hybrid connectivity to on-prem. So if you have data sitting in SQL Server, we have gateway technologies that will allow you to do refresh from on-prem into your dashboard that's delivered via the cloud. And that's all standard functionality. There's no coding required. You know, it's all, you know, it's as simple as create a Power BI desktop file that has data coming from SQL Server, upload that to Power BI, enable a gateway-based refresh, and you're good. Yeah. Okay, so I want to just jump into the next part, which is around custom visuals. I don't have a timer here. What time? Does anyone? Okay. I just wanted a time check. So this is an exciting topic, and it's something that we've been spending a lot of time on in the last few months. How many of you have a need for customized visuals? Lots of hands. Okay. I think you're going to be happy when, you know, when you leave this session or immediately after the next few minutes. So 2 months ago, when Power BI was, we announced general availability of Power BI. You know, there was a pretty big announcement along with that, been lost in, you know, in all the buzz, which is we actually announced that our entire visualization stack went open source, right? Pretty big deal. This isn't just a set of samples we open sourced. We open sourced our commercial grade visualization stack, and it's available on GitHub. Today, and we set it up, you know, open sourced it under the MIT license, and we also put out contribution guidelines, right? This isn't just something that we put out there saying, yeah, you can come and look at it. We're happy to work with the community to accept contributions if you have visuals that are generally applicable to the masses, right? That's what Power BI is about. But it also gives you a way to look at what Power BI does from a visualization perspective and allow you to build your own visuals that you might use for your own needs, right? We think that you should not be constrained by your BI vendor when it comes to visuals. And, you know, increasingly, as everything becomes data oriented, it's not possible for a BI tool to give you everything you need. We have folks who work in the sports analytics field, and they have the need to show a soccer field. That is the base of the visual, and they want metrics and things showing up on that visual, right? Not a general purpose visualization. Will never probably ship out of the box in a product like ours, right? Because it's too domain specific, but you should be able to create that. And so we provide a way to do that. And we also, given our focus on developers, I think this is new for a BI experience, the amount of focus we're putting around developers. As you've seen with the APIs, we think we want to give you a first-class experience for building solutions on top of Power BI, visuals being one of them, right? And lastly, we're going to have a set of experiences that follow that will allow end users to consume custom visuals. So when you're using Power BI Desktop, if a visualization vendor sent you a visual that you licensed from them, for example, right? This is, in the future, then you might be able to use that in the desktop. And you'll be able to bring that into Power BI, and you can build a dashboard that has that visual, right? Only for you, because you're allowed to use that visual. The same thing goes for the service, right? If I have a visual that I've gotten, maybe I got it off of a community, right? Someone did a visual that I really liked. I can bring it into Power BI. I can use it. So let's look at what it means to bring some custom visuals into Power BI. I heard there was a fish demo. Did anyone see the fish demo? Okay, well, let's do something a little more serious then, right? So let me start with our GitHub repo. This is all out there. This is where we do our development work on visuals and Power BI. And the developers that run this thing have done a fantastic job here. You can see that we have a set of detailed instructions on how to get started, what you need, how to set up your dev environment if you want to really get serious and build your own visuals, how to build and test and such. And there's a wiki up here as well that has great info on the interfaces you need to implement. At the end of the day, you need to implement the iVisual interface, this is all client-side visualization. So at the end of the day, it's all JavaScript. We have a TypeScript-based path for developing these, right? And so let's look at that. So the first thing I'm going to do before I jump into any of this stuff is I'm going to go and get myself a sample visual that's in here, which doesn't really ship with the product, but it's in here as a sample. So let's go and pick the Aster plot. And I'm going to go find this thing, and I'm going to take this this code here, and you'll see why. So I'm going to take this code, and so what I have here is production Power BI, but I'm going to enable a developer mode here. So if I have question mark dev tools enabled equals true, you'll want to make note of that, and it will essentially open up in Power BI, an option for DevTools, okay? And when I go in there, what I can do is I can paste in my visual. And what this is you can see three sections here. There's a section here for pasting in, effectively for your TypeScript code, right? There's a section there for CSS styling if you wanted that. What I'm gonna do is really I'm going to change the name of this module here, my Power BI.visuals, and I'm going to compile and run. And there's my custom visual, right? I won't get into the details of the code. It's all out there. You can go look at it. But there's my custom visual. It's rendered, right? Well, that's good, but can I use it with some real data? So I'm going to go back into my dashboard here, and let's go into one of the reports. Right, and let's make things a little more exciting. So I'm going to pick this this table here, and I'm going to change that to one of the visuals that just showed up, right? And there's the Aster plot that's actually over my data, in this case coming from Salesforce Content Pack. Guess what? Cross filters, right? It's actually fully interactive, just like any other Power BI visualization. It's, you know, it's all connected up. It's, you know, it's a first-class visual on that canvas, and it's able to do all of the things that a standard Power BI visual can do. Nothing was built into Power BI here, right? This is a standard sample that we picked up. The code for that is, you know, all there. You can do this thing, and you can start using this this visual in Power BI. What's missing, and what's coming soon, is the ability for you to then, I mean, you've tested this visual, you've used it in your own account. How do you give that to someone else, right, as a production visual to use, right? Whether that's in the desktop or whether that's in Power BI service. So that's a capability that'll come soon, right? But for now, you can start playing with this thing.
So yep. When you pasted that in, that's just for your organization?
When you pasted it in today, it's just for me. Oh. It's not even for my organization. Okay. Next, we will allow you to open this up to your organization, right? We will allow you to take it so that you can send it to someone and those kinds of experiences. Right now, it's just for me. You won't be able to pin this. I mean, you can pin it, but you won't be able to share this with someone else and such, right? There's a bunch of limitations. How many of you like that? Good stuff? Okay.
Let me have it in the content pack real soon.
Yeah, we're gonna do a bunch of things around this. Like I said, we're running really fast. Glad you liked that. It's all out there. So, you know, the phases, thinking about the phases for this stuff, open sourcing our visuals, that was the first part, happened a few months ago. Everything's on GitHub. The goal was really for us to get excitement, get the ecosystem going. All of our 20-plus visuals in product are already there, and you'll be able to play with it and test your visuals and get it ready. Even for a contribution, if you wanted to work with us and, you know, bring it and make it available for the general community of Power BI. The developer tools are available in preview. You can go and play with it if you enable that switch. Then phase three is what we're working on, which is opening up custom visuals for general purpose use in Power BI. And I promised that you had a chance to win $5,000. So last week we kicked off a Power BI Best Visual contest, right? Just to get some fun going here, and we're already starting to see some pretty amazing visuals being created by the community. But if you go to aka.ms/PowerBIVizContest, you'll be able to get all the details, and there's even a couple of weekly People's Choice Awards that we're running via Twitter. So this is a fun little event if you have that slight bit of spare time. I don't, I know that. So content packs, that's the last segment that I wanted to cover. And my team really runs the public content pack program as well, right? Which is, as Patrick mentioned, we have been shipping one of these every week. This week we had Tigraph. I can't even remember what we had last week. I mean, we're just shipping, every Tuesday, Wednesday, you'll see these things pop up. It's exciting because the slide's woefully, it's out of date, but you get the point. We're shipping these every week and it's your chance to have your logo in Power BI, right? It's a pretty big deal. A pretty important way. If you think you're a general purpose business user facing application that you want to surface up to end users, every user using Power BI, this becomes a way for those users to come in, and within a few minutes, see a dashboard full of data coming from your system, right? Dashboard full of their data. So that's really a big element of our 5 minutes to wow, as Patrick was saying. We want that user to come in, sign up in 5 seconds, and sign in and be looking at their data from one of those applications very quickly. We have a high bar for these because we want these to be curated. We want these to be a good experience. We welcome all partners, ISVs, anyone who has a commercial application running in the cloud that needs to surface data up to business users, you can show up in Power BI. The couple of requirements would be that your scenario must be business user facing, must be broadly applicable. It has to allow Power BI to connect to your system via a REST API. That's just the way of connecting and pulling data. You have to work in partnership with us because we don't know your domain, you do. We have to really partner up in making sure that that content pack represents what you would want your users to see. Patrick also showed in the desktop a series of connectors that show up, and you had Salesforce and Marketo and GitHub and a few others in there, and that's also part of this program, right? Which is connectors that show up in Power BI Desktop and ultimately in Excel. Very important point, and so that enables analysts to connect up to these data sources and query ad hoc and build really compelling custom dashboards over your data. There was a question in the earlier session about a graph database. How do I connect up to that? Well, we're working on an extensibility mechanism in the desktop that'll allow you to plug in any data source, and that would be a way in which you bring in data sources that we don't natively support in Power BI. If you want a content pack, you can email me. You can email that email address shown there with that subject line, and we'll be happy to work with you. So, I'll wrap up and let's have Q&A if we have time, just a set of resources for you to think about and use to get to know Power BI a little bit better. Finally, I'll just say that, the focus...
Can you go backwards?
Yeah. All the cameras come out. I think these slides will be available to you, though, so.
There's no patience in this room.
No patience, good. So, I'll wrap up by saying, really the goal for us with Power BI is to bring amazing data experiences to our mutual users, right? There's a path that lets us do that through Power BI, through our experience. We believe just as, equally important is the ability for you to bring those insights through your application. And that's what we focus on when we think about, how we enable developers, how we enable partners to build on top of Power BI. That is the focus of the platform pieces of Power BI. And, we think we have a really good start and, can't wait to see what kinds of experiences you build leveraging the Power BI platform. So thanks very much, and I'll hang around for questions.